Good morning, friends. In honor of Canada Day coming up this Wednesday, we invite you to stand in body or spirit. We join together singing O Canada. Please be seated. Well, welcome everyone. It's wonderful to see you on this summer morning at Rosedale United Church. My name is Kristen Phillipson. I'm the minister for worship and spiritual care here at Rosedale United. And joining with me in leadership this morning is our music director, Dr. Sarah Svensson. This is Sarah's last Sunday. You guys are lucky. This is her last Sunday playing before she begins her maternity leave. So we're so lucky to be with you, Sarah, and we just wish you all the best in the next month. Yeah. Also with me in leadership this morning, and you saw them briefly just now singing O Canada, our cantor this morning is Valdis Yevtyevs, and his daughter Aya is with us as well. So welcome, Aya, and we'll be hearing from the two of them. Rosedale United is a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the neighborhood and all around our city. And we gather to learn, to grow, and to serve. We're proud to be an affirming congregation representing a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, backgrounds. This is a place where everyone is welcome. And in the spirit of welcome, we are welcoming today members of Rosedale Presbyterian Church. We have a long-standing tradition in the summertime of members of Rosedale Presbyterian coming here to worship for the month of for the last bit of June and July, and then our membership goes to join Rosedale Presbyterian for the month of August through to the Labor Day weekend. So I can see three folks. If you want to just say hi, the members of Rosedale Presbyterian that are here, we're so glad you're with us. Welcome. We have, after the service, tea, coffee, water, a time of hospitality in the room that's just through those doors there. And I hope that you'll stay, have some time for conversation. You will see our focus scripture this morning is one that I needed to unpack. It's a discussion. It's going to give rise to discussion. So I hope you'll stay and let me know your thoughts on some of what you hear this morning and just have some good conversation on this summer morning. The theme of our summer worship series this year is finding the thread. Summer is a time when we change pace, a lot of us, change places, change spaces. We have time out, we go back in, and often this change helps us to become reacquainted with what I'm calling the thread of our lives. And that thread will be different for each of us. But summertime is often a time when we become reacquainted, when we find again the thread of our lives. And we'll be using our scripture readings this summer to help us find our own threads, to get in touch with what's important to us, to come back to a sense of ourselves. We have a beautiful image helping us with this. It's a beautiful quilt made by our own Mariana Bell. Mariana, can you just raise your hand so people can see you? Yeah, thank you for providing our focus image. A couple of announcements. Activity at the Rosedale Center continues on through the summer. We have Tai Chi classes running through to the end of July. So it's July 8th, 15th, and 29th. Are the Wednesdays for Tai Chi, just one class in the afternoon. You can sign up online. We do have new art in our art gallery. Anna Bald Bloom's work is on display, and again, you can see it at our time of hospitality. Anything else, Sarah? Yeah, go for it.
Hi. A week from tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. is the All-Star Concert of Organists, which we help support through the Royal Canadian College of Organists National Summer Organ Academy. It's a lot of words, but the point is that all of the teaching faculty are well-known international concert organists. And so this is a really great opportunity that doesn't happen that often, where you have five of the top touring artists playing one concert here, right? So if you're around a week from tomorrow, you should come. I think there are definitely tickets at the door, but you can go to the Royal Canadian College of Organists website or just search All-Star Organ Concert or send me an email. I'm still on my work email for a few more weeks. Okay, thanks.
With that, I invite us to stand in body or in spirit as we call ourselves into this time of worship. Welcome to this service amid summer warmth and color. We have come open to hear God's word for us. We are here to praise our Creator and give our thanks. We have come to raise our spirits to the heavens in song. We are here to offer prayers for a better world for everyone. We are gathered here as one community to worship together and be reminded to love one another. We have come as one family of God, eager to be prompted in the ways of holy goodness and loving kindness. Come, let us worship God. Our opening hymn is "Today We Are Called to Be Disciples." That's in the red book. When you see VU, that means the red book, Voices United.
Thank you.
The peace of Christ be with you all. Friends, I invite you to turn and to greet those who are around you with the peace of Christ. It's just saying those words, peace be with you. Do feel free to mingle. Move closer if you're at the back. Greet people you've never met before. We light the Christ candle, reminding us of the Christ light present with us, within us, within each other. And I invite us now into a moment for silence. Silence is a gift in our noisy world. Let's welcome this moment of silence as a moment to settle ourselves before we open our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. God, who notices everything, we come now into your presence with bodies, minds, and spirits that are tired from work, tired from the business of living, tired from dealing perhaps with illness and grief, tired from the challenges life throws our way. We come now into your presence, longing for rest and renewal. Where self-preservation has closed us off, help us again to open ourselves. Open our senses to your presence. Open our minds to your grace. Open our hearts to your love. Refresh us, we pray, and restore us, that we may discover with renewed senses the directions you would have us take. Amen. So opening our theme, you heard me mention that our theme for this summer is finding the thread, coming back to that sense of ourselves, our own through line for life. Also finding the thread in terms of what connects us. When we look at this beautiful quilt in all its diversity, it's the threads that connect everything together. And I'm using our scripture readings for clues to help us find again the thread of our lives. And in a moment, I'm going to introduce the scripture that we'll be hearing today. And the only thing I have to say that this scripture left me with this week were questions. No answers, just questions. And you'll see why in a moment. And then I realized that's not a bad place to start when you're finding the thread, with questions, because often it's asking the questions that leads us to the answers. That's where we have to start. And so, what are the questions that you are longing to ask yourself this summer? What are the questions that you are avoiding asking yourself this summer? What are the questions that are on your hearts as you enter into this summertime? These are questions that are only for you to contemplate as Sarah plays. Julie Wildgoose is our scripture reader today, but before she comes up, I want to offer an introduction to what you're about to hear. The scripture this week needs some context and introduction. Our common lectionary, that's the Sunday-by-Sunday scripture reading plan that's shared by all Catholic and mainline Protestant churches worldwide, has us reading a challenging and a troubling text as our first reading today. In the United Church of Canada's most recent statement of faith, Scripture is described as a living word passed on from generation to guide and inspire, that we might wrestle a holy revelation for our time and place. And our first reading this morning is certainly a text with which we need to wrestle. The scriptures of the Christian and Jewish faith traditions are not always easy to interpret or comfortable to read. They should carry a disclaimer sometimes that they are for mature listeners only. That's certainly the case today. Our first reading from the book of Genesis is a story about a test that God designs to assess Abraham's loyalty. God commands Abraham to sacrifice his son. It is a difficult story to hear. Abraham had been following God for all of his life. He had entered into a sacred agreement with God, a covenant, a relationship. God had called Abraham to leave the place where he had been living, to follow God to a new place, to go on the journey of faith with God. And in return, God promises to bless Abraham, to give him children. But the children are slow to arrive. And finally, when Abraham is very old, he and his wife Sarah become pregnant, and they call their son Isaac, which means laughter, because Sarah couldn't help laughing when she learned she'd be a mother when she least expected it. But now, in the scripture story we're about to hear, God has devised a cruel test for Abraham. God asks Abraham to sacrifice this child that God had promised for him and for which Abraham had waited his whole life. It's a test and a story we struggle to make sense of and to interpret. That God, who we would describe as holy and entirely love, would come up with such a test for Abraham seems unfathomable. That God, the all-powerful creator, would require such a test of loyalty from a human creature, and that God could be so unfeeling simply does not compute for us. How are we to understand this story? That in the text we don't hear Abraham object to God's command is surprising, because at other points in the book of Genesis, Abraham pushes back and argues freely with God. that we don't witness Abraham tearing his hair out and beating his chest in protest at the strangeness and the out-of-the-blueness of this command makes the story difficult to relate to. That Isaac could survive such trauma and maintain a relationship with God is also strange to us in our time and place. Parents are supposed to protect children. In the second reading you'll hear from the Gospel of Matthew, you'll hear the practice of faith and discipleship described as loving service to others. The model disciple is one who would give a cup of water to the last and the least. Discipleship means serving even people who won't reward us in return. And yet, in our first reading, Abraham believes he is following God by imagining an act of violence. This is deeply troubling to us, impossible to make sense of when we've been taught that living out our faith means practicing service and compassion, especially to the vulnerable. So what are we meant to take away from this reading? How does it guide us and inspire us today? How does it help us again to find the thread of our lives? There are no easy answers, and we are called to wrestle with the text. Julie.
Let us pray. O God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love. Amen. A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. God said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, Father, and he said, Here I am, my son. He said, The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. May God guide and support us in understanding this reading of Scripture. reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. In these ancient words, may we hear wisdom for living today.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
That was beautiful, Aya. Thank you. And to your dad, too, of course. And Aya, Angela is downstairs with an activity for kids if you're interested. You're welcome to go and find Angela. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So how do we make sense of a scripture story like the story of God's testing of Abraham? How do we find the sense in this story so that it can guide us and inspire us? How do we interpret it so that it can help us find again the thread of our lives, to find ourselves and what's important to us? The only place I can think to start when it comes to a story like this is by asking tough questions. Here's one. How do we square our understanding of God as love with this story about God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son? In the Christian faith tradition, the word we use most often to describe God is love. In the United Church of Canada's most recent statement of faith, God is described as holy mystery that is holy, entirely, love. Our founding doctrine describes God as love, most just, in all God's ways, full of compassion and abundant in goodness. The Presbyterian Church in Canada's Catechism for Today describes God as a God of love, and this love is powerful beyond measure. But a command to sacrifice a child doesn't sound like love. It sounds like cruelty. So what's going on here? Well, what if we read the text differently? There's another question I'm asking this morning. We assume in this story that God is testing for unquestioning obedience. But what if God was actually looking for something else from Abraham? Could God have been testing Abraham for something else? What if the purpose of the test wasn't to measure Abraham's obedience, but to measure his devotion to his son? What if the purpose of God's test was to make Abraham think about his commitment to the next generation? How often do we blindly go along with the way we've always lived our lives, as Abraham blindly goes along, not thinking about the impact our choices might have on our children and how our choices might be causing their sacrifice? What if this is actually a story that asks us to think about our impact on the next generation? That's another question. What if God wasn't testing Abraham as a feudal lord tests the fealty of a peasant? What if God was looking in Abraham for a capacity to protect and steward his son? What if God was testing for empathy? What if God wasn't testing Abraham's loyalty to the divine, but Abraham's devotion to Isaac? What if that was actually God's test, and Abraham nearly failed it? God had to intervene at the last moment. Do not lay a hand on that boy, God says. What if God was looking for Abraham to come to Isaac's protection when God commands, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there? What if God was testing for Abraham to push back, to argue, to defend, to try to protect his son and the next generation? In our Bible study group, one of our members is a retired pediatric psychiatrist. And she pointed out when we were reading this text together this past week that there is evidence in the text that Abraham knew that he was doing something wrong in not questioning the command to sacrifice his son. He journeys to Moriah with some of his servants, but he doesn't come clean to them about what he's doing. Is this because he knows deep down that his actions are wrong? He's obfuscating, making it look to his servants like he and Isaac are just going on a father-son camping trip. Why is he sheepish with them and not just telling the truth? Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and come back to you, Abraham says. His conscience is telling him he's doing something wrong, which is why he can't admit what he's about to do to his servants. What if God is actually testing for conscience? There's a question. I have to say that I like my way of reading and interpreting this story. When you stick to the confines of our lectionary text alone, you could make the case that God was testing for compassion, for empathy, for conscience. However, when you read on past where our passage ends, we learn that God was, in fact, testing for obedience in Abraham. And it's because of Abraham's obedience that God promises again to bless Abraham. I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, God says. But perhaps I've got the wrong word and obedience isn't quite right. Perhaps this story is about Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith in God's love, even in the face of such an absurd command. And so we have another question to consider. What if this story is not about Abraham's loyalty and obedience so much as it is about Abraham's faith? Perhaps Abraham trusted all along that there was no way God would utter such a command with any seriousness. Abraham trusted that God had a plan for him, a plan for blessing, and not for this kind of hurt. He didn't tell his servants about what he was doing because he trusted completely. He had faith in God, and he believed that God would never allow him to follow through. He knew he'd be bringing Isaac back. Abraham was a model of faith, convinced that God's essence is entirely love. He believed that nothing could quench God's love or defeat God's gracious purpose. Perhaps this story is about Abraham simply living that faith out, trusting that God would never ask him to carry out the absurd command to sacrifice his son. Here's another question. What if we decided it was okay for Scripture to not make sense sometimes? Could it be okay to admit that Scripture doesn't always make sense according to our contemporary culture's standard of what is sensible and rational? We want to make sense of things because this helps us feel more in control. The story of the testing of Abraham is wild, and we want to tame it, to master it, to understand it. But maybe the fact that we can't understand it is also partly the point. Isn't life itself wild and irrational at times? Don't the circumstances of our own lives defy understanding? Perhaps the wildness of this story brings it closer to describing the realities of life on earth. Life is wild. Sometimes life can feel like a story we can't make sense of. Life can be random, and things happen in life for no reasonable reason. A story that describes a strange kind of test that makes no sense comes very close to capturing the feeling we have of just being alive on this planet. Life tests us. Life and mortality ask us to give up, to sacrifice what is most important to us, the people we love, sometimes inexplicably. Life is wild. So the fact that this scripture tells a wild and incomprehensible story, perhaps it is describing what life can feel like for us. Sometimes scripture stories don't make rational sense, but they make emotional sense. God's command to Abraham to sacrifice his son speaks to the way mortal existence asks us to live with and to process loss. Perhaps this story has been passed down through generations and preserved for us because it captures an emotional truth that earthly life and mortality can feel like a test of our capacity to live with loss. Do stories need to make rational sense, or can they make emotional sense? That's another question. Maybe this is just a story that makes emotional sense. In the same way that a ram appears right when Abraham needs it, life can also feel miraculous and full of serendipity, like noticing a hidden patch of wild strawberries near a forest trail. Life can feel this way too. Provisions have a way of appearing for us. A friend, even a stranger, can reach out with exactly what we need at precisely the moment of our deepest need. We are tested by life on this planet, and this planet also provides for us and is full of caring people. The appearance of the ram in this story speaks to the emotional sense we have of somehow being held and cared for and provided for. Often we can only see our rams, so to speak, in hindsight, the helpful stranger, the sign that changed our direction, the unexpected gift. What each of us will encounter in our lives will take us to the furthest capacity as humans. Life will test us, as Abraham was tested. It's inevitable. Life is full of awe in this way, the fact that we live through it, we survive. And somehow we find we are provided for, even in the strangest circumstances, and we discover that we can provide for and help to carry others. Life is full of wonder. On the mountain of our deepest challenge, God will provide. That's another way to interpret this story. Is this how the story helps us to find again the thread of our lives? By reacquainting us with awe and wonder? Or perhaps we begin to find the thread again by asking tough questions of ourselves and our lives in the same way that we've been asking questions of this text. Perhaps there is something about asking tough questions. Questions lead the way to answers. Amen. Friends, I invite us to stand in body or spirit to sing in response. Jesus, teacher, brave and bold. We move into a time now of praying for our world and our community, and in that spirit, I invite you to join with me in our response and offering. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. And so, as a way of entering into a time of prayer for others, you are invited in this moment to light a candle for a person or a place on your mind and heart this morning. Your prayer may be for yourself, for an intention that you want to set. There are stations on either side of our sanctuary. you might also use this time to make an offering to support the work of Rosedale United Church in our city. And if you want to do so, our offering box is at the back. And equally, you can take this moment for quiet prayer and reflection for yourself. The moment is yours, and I invite you to step into it. Friends, we pray together the prayers of our community. Let us pray. Creating God, we pray that you will continue to open and transform our hearts so that we may be the welcoming and healing space of your presence. In trust and expectation now, we place within your heart the spoken and unspoken prayers and concerns of our hearts. We are grateful for the many blessings in our lives, and take time now to name our gratitude in the quiet of our hearts. We pray for peace, help and healing in the troubled places of our world. Today, especially, we pray for the people of Venezuela. Lord, we know that you are there and that you are among people with your comfort, your rescue, your life-giving power. We name also in our hearts the people and places in our world that need your love. We pray for our world leaders, that they may be guided with wisdom and compassion. We pray for our federal leaders, our provincial leaders, leaders in our city. We pray to be compassionate citizens of our country, Canada, and to do what we can according to our own interests and strengths and passions, to make our country a place where people can grow and contribute and flourish. We pray to be devoted to the protection of the vulnerable and to compassion. We pray for the integrity of earth and land and for our ability as stewards. Increase our devotion to the earth and our gratitude for how it provides. We pray for our devotion to the health and safety of the next generation, to protect their education, their wellness, their happiness. Encourage us to ask tough questions of ourselves, and in asking to find answers, to find the thread of our lives. Strengthen and encourage us, guide us and fill us with your Spirit, that we may reflect you in all we say and do. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We stand and sing our closing hymn, We Are Marching. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2 and then end back on verse 1.
Over and over.
You want to do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
friends, we go into this day, into this new week, unafraid to ask the questions our hearts need us to ask. We go with the love of God, we go with the friendship of Christ, and we go with the power of the Spirit in us always. We bless each other as we go. We have a new blessing for summer. We think that you will likely already know this tune, and so we invite you to sing along as you're comfortable. It only takes a spark.